What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Prodigal Sons Podcast. This is episode 123. Today's February 7th, 2023, and we are glad to be here. And start out with saying, what's up, Sean?
Hey, how are you?
How we doing, Tom?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And how are you doing, Lisa? As good as always.
I think one of these days she's going to surprise us and say something.
No. I've been married to her for 15 years. She's never surprised me that way. No. The day that she starts speaking in public is going to be a very strange day.
Is there something? Why am I sitting here?
I feel like the show has shifted and we're... What's going on? Huh. Are we... How many people... One, two, three. Oh.
Hold on a second. I'm getting a text right now. Hold on.
I feel like I've been demoted on this table. Over here.
You're just back to where you were in the beginning. Let's be honest.
I mean, he's usually late, but not this late.
All right. Hold on. I'm trying to read his message.
Weren't we at a straight table when we started?
With a green screen? You remember the green screen episode? That was a bad episode.
The one with the blocks behind us.
I gotta go back and find the video of the green screen.
We literally did just one in that room.
It was like 1990s after school special green screen. It was terrible. It was like we were doing a science show or something.
I forgot to view us.
It looks like, unfortunately, Elijah won't be with us tonight. There was a mix-up in his schedule. Yeah. And his Renaissance Fair cosplay class that he's been trying to take, they got moved to tonight, and he didn't realize it. So there's no other chance for him to make another cosplay, like an outfit for Renaissance for next year. So apparently he has to be at that tonight. He's making a costume. He wants to be a barbarian or something.
I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to out him, but I did see him walking down the street with, like, you know, some tight tights and a bit of like a Robin Hood type look with like a, you know, a weird hat. I just thought it was a thing he was into.
No, apparently that's what he's doing. He's making a full costume for Renaissance.
They were tight, though, the tights.
I believe it.
Yeah, he was a man in tights.
Tight tights.
I'm not used to having the mic on this side. It's usually on this side.
Is it confusing?
You can move it.
It's a little weird.
You see, there's a magic. You can just pick it up.
I might have to rearrange
it. I know it's
almost taller than you, but...
And it's very, very heavy for somebody your size.
Hey, Amir, how are you?
Quick announcements. We will not be on next week. It is February 14th. I am not sure what special day that is, but I'm told that it's some sort of holiday, and we will be off. And I...
There's nothing for, I was going to say, I'll be home alone, so... That's
not... That is a depressing thing to say. I mean, how do you know what the next week has in store?
You don't. Yeah, that is true. You have no idea.
This is true. You're very right. It's no very idea. True.
There's a chance that you won't be home alone.
You could be married by next week. Right.
I'm 90% sure I'll be home alone next week. I'm 95.
I'm saying you're going to be married by next week.
Married? Wow, that's a thrill.
With four more kids.
In 7 days.
Yeah,
with four more kids.
Meet with four. She better have them coming in because I'm not dealing with diapers and crying. That's it. I ain't doing that again.
All right. The question on the heart of everybody in America is, what's going on with Tom's laptop that he said 100% for sure would be on?
And it's not. That's not it, is it?
So you see, you don't know.
He said his new laptop, which he has owned.
What's funny is that the story's going to sound so bogus.
Okay, so, for those of you who don't know, Tom bought a new laptop about 3 or 4 years ago because this one was on its way out. This one had a miraculous ceiling.
6 months.
He's been saying for the last 6 months that he was going to set up his new laptop and use it, and he promised us that by this week it would be done. What saith Tom?
So I was 100% ready to come here with my new laptop. I even stopped at Staples yesterday on the way home from church and bought a USB port so I can transfer everything over. And I opened up the new laptop, and it was dead, which I don't understand because I charged it 6 months ago.
Right.
Yes.
So my wife looked at me. She goes, maybe I'm like, I've completely charged it. She goes, 6 months ago. And I'm like, but I didn't use it. How does it die? That is a question that I had, is how does it die if it's not being used?
Well, you don't think it's on, but there are certain things that are going on in any electronic device when you're not using it.
And even if it's brand new?
There are things that are going on. Like, for instance, the gigabytes are playing poker with the megabytes.
I get it.
And the terabytes, they go surfing on the internet.
So I plugged it in, waited a couple minutes, I turned it on, and I'm like, here we go. And, you know, English, and I start answering the little things, And then
you put it in English?
I was ready to put my email address in, and on my email is TomRivera3. So I put Tom Rivera, and then I went like this. And I realized at that point that this laptop didn't have the keypad over here.
Oh, you went to put it in the keypad.
That I'm so used to using all the time.
Yep.
And at that point, I looked at my wife, and I said, this isn't going to work for me. She goes, what do you mean? I'm like, it doesn't have the keypad that I use. And she goes, I'll take it. I said, okay, here. So I gave it to my wife. So now she set it up, and she's using it. And I will buy another laptop in about 2 months.
I'm pretty sure he's better at making up stories than
I am. That's not you. I wish my wife watched the show, because that's the exact thing that happened. I can't have a laptop without the keypad here.
I am sitting here ready to destroy you.
I know. I knew this would happen, but that is the truth.
And I can't. I can't destroy that.
I was all ready to do it.
The number one concern for me when it comes to a laptop is the keypad on the right. And
it has to be. There has to be a keypad.
Is the number the number pad on the right?
The number pad has to be there.
That being said, the laptop that I'm using right now does not have one, and I love it. But I never. The only place I use the laptop as a laptop is right here on the show. When it's in my office, it's plugged into my setup at work, and I have a couple of screens, and I have the keyboard with the number pad. I can't rip you for that.
The number pad is essential.
If I had to live with a keyboard without a number pad on the right, yeah. I would not buy. I've bought computers based on that number pad.
She asked me. She said, "Honey, can you wait 2 months before you get a new one, and then we can buy a new one in 2 months?" I said, "Yeah, I could wait, sweetie, but I can't do the no keypad." And it's actually the exact same laptop that she uses for her work.
Yeah,
not the exact same one, but the same type.
Yeah.
Same brand and everything. So she's like, yeah, I'm already using this laptop. I'll take it. So I handed it over to her. And I'll tell you what, though. She had it set up in like 5 minutes.
Yep. Because that's all it takes.
I couldn't believe it. She's yep. like, oh, well, look, it even brought my back screen. And it had everything ready already. Like wow. It was her old one.
Sean, I thought he was going to say he was answering the questions. Email address, what's your name, what's your favorite color, all this stuff. And then it was going to say, how tall are you? And then it was like, I'm sorry, you must be 5'8 to ride this. Yeah,
gotta be at least 5'3" and a half.
So I realized that I need a bigger one. I can't have a laptop without the keypad.
Now, do you use the laptop like at home and stuff like that?
Yeah, I use it church, at home. I use it, yeah.
Yeah, because at this point, I can't do any
I use it for school.
I can't do any real work on one screen anymore. I am broken.
No, me too.
I have to have at least the two giant screens.
I have two. I have another one in my office here, and I have another one in my house. So I always plug it in, so I have two of them.
Wait, you have you use a laptop and one screen?
And one screen, yeah.
Oh.
I used to use the HDMI cord.
You got to get two screens and close the laptop, and then just use the two screens and plug in a keep. They make these port things. You plug everything into the port and then plug the port into the laptop.
I get why the keyboard's easier to type than this keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And then you don't have to worry about the thing. But
I would then, at that point, though, I know what I would do is if I got a keyboard, I would use it, and then I would do one of these and have three screens.
Yeah, you might do that.
Yeah.
But I just like them being equal height and
Did
size.
You see my office one? No. It's like the big screen TV.
Oh, really? It's a little tiny one. No, I need them to be the same size and everything. And actually, it's getting to be where two screens might not be enough.
And I can't use this. I need a mouse.
Oh,
I can't get used to this.
The thing in the middle, only if I am doing something like on the couch will I ever use that thing.
But my wife is super happy because she needed a new laptop, but she held off. And she got a brand new laptop.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time. All the time. God is good.
What an awful movie.
That's a great movie. The sex.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That didn't come out the way I wanted to.
What did you like about the movie again?
Wasn't that movie. The 16 consecutive movies after that I didn't like, but the first one was good.
That was one of the funniest things I ever heard in a sermon was when Dave goes... And I was watching this movie, but I can't tell you the name of it because I probably shouldn't be watching it.
Nice. It's not exactly what I said.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, man. Who would win in a fight, an eagle or a chief?
Chief.
I think a chief would win. I don't think we asked Sean last week. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we had talked about it last week. I gave 31-24 Chiefs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but I believe I don't. That's because he hates the Eagles. I don't really think that's a
no. That's my football fan, all around football fan, true, honest opinion.
And our offensive line alone will win that game.
Dude, I've seen Mahomes do some crazy stuff, and I just that's my personal opinion. I have no dog in the fight on this one, but I really just think.
I'm not asking what you think. I'm asking who you want.
Oh,
Do you want to deal with all these horse poop?
No, I don't. But I mean, I really don't care one way or the other who wins.
I saw a tent set up outside of a Wawa yesterday. Across the street from a Wawa.
Hey, actually. Lois, how are you?
Hey, Betty, what's going on?
Oh, sorry, Betty. I didn't even see you pop in. How you doing?
Hi, Amin.
I don't mean already. I'm not worried about him.
There's one right here in Royersford. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
What is it?
So I saw a tent set up selling Eagles gear, which means they're selling it to people who don't have any because they want to look like they have some.
Well, that's what happens when you have a bunch of bandwagon fans. They have three loyal fans like the years they lose, and then there's 10,000 fans automatically when they go to the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
So do you actually believe that the Chiefs are going to win?
I do. I mean, in all ways, that's my...
But you want the Chiefs to win, or you don't
No,
care?
I don't. I don't like Andy Reid, and I don't like the Eagles, so... I could care less one way or the other.
Yeah. I got to say, I've been trying to find it in my...
You just want a good game?
Yeah, as long as... I got to work, so I don't really care. I can't even watch a game, so... But yeah, I do hope it's a good game.
At that point, I think he's rooting for a terrible game. He's like all these people who aren't working right now.
I hope it's 2-1 at the end of that game. I don't know how they can get one
point. No, it's 4-2.
4-2. three safeties in the whole game. Or 3-2, just one field goal at the end. 3 seconds on the clock, and it's up. Oh, it's good. 3-2.
I'll take a 4-2 victory.
I was watching a basketball game a couple weeks ago that started out. The score was 3-1. I was like, that's a weird score.
How'd they get? Somebody sunk a three,
and another person missed a foul shot.
Missed a foul shot.
So they got one foul.
So they didn't get the basket. They just went to the hole, got fouled, didn't even make the basket. So they didn't have.
They got 1 point. Yeah,
that's terrible.
3-1.
Sink that basket while you're taking the foul.
It's called a free throw for a reason.
Yeah, but sink the basket. You're going for the foul. Get the 3 points. Why wouldn't you finish them? Finish the play.
Well, sometimes. I mean, Sean.
Okay, no, I don't care. You're paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. Finish the job. What the heck.
I want to get Sean to be a coach of an NBA team.
Oh, I'd love any sports team. I would be so terrible.
Yeah, you should be Kyrie Irving's coach.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Trade me. No.
Just shut up and do your job.
Yeah. I'm not happy. Trade me.
Didn't remember asking if you were happy or not. It's not my concern. Get out there and do your job.
What if I sit out?
Don't care. Then you're not getting paid. You get paid to play. You don't want to play? Go sit in the locker room and cry to yourself.
What would you do if you were the coach of the 76ers?
Here we go. I thought we'd escape this, but I guess we didn't.
I was actually not going to bring up the game in which the Knicks spanked the 76ers.
I wouldn't necessarily say spanked.
They were down by 21. They won by 11. 10? 11? What was it?
It doesn't matter.
It's a 30-point swing.
When I messaged the group, it was 82-82, and I was watching a good ball game.
I was watching an awesome ball game when you messaged the group, and I thought for sure the Knicks were going to poop their pants and lose by 15 points like they should have. Anyway, I wasn't even going to message the group because I was sure the Knicks were going to lose. What would you do, Sean, if you were the coach of the 76ers and there was a guy on the team who had a beard that looked like a front afro? And all you could see is a little tiny mouth in the middle of the beard. It's just like a...
I would encourage him to continue to grow that beard.
Oh, you wouldn't pull any pranks and try to shave half of it off or anything?
Oh,
like
I would be trying to sneak pencils into that thing when he's not he's
be like the Homer
Simpson. What's that over there? Whoop. Just sticking pencils in the side of it and stuff. Oh, yeah. Taking bobby pins and little signs that say kick me and sticking it to him.
He's such a good basketball player, but there's just I can't not see.
What I can't understand is how can you play
exactly
a sport like basketball just because it's a lot of running, you're sweating. My beard, if I start sweating, it's itchy as heck. I cannot imagine playing, what's it, an hour? I'm not a basketball fan. What's it, 15 minutes?
They're playing about 40 minutes a night, but they are running.
But you're running, you're sweating, and that thing, to me, I don't know how he's not just scratching his face the whole time.
I would.
It's more than 40 minutes.
No, I'm saying each player plays about 40 minutes.
Yeah, because they don't
rotate in and out. But they're sweating for a good 2 hours. Yeah. But the,
Well, LeBron's only 36 points away from breaking the all-time record.
Is he playing? Are they playing?
They play tonight, but they don't think he's going to do it tonight.
Are they like West Coast late games?
Because, yeah, it's a 10 o'clock game.
Nah, I can't stay.
Yeah. But it's not a home game. The next one is, so they don't think he'll break it.
He has the all-time whining record, so
that's good.
Nobody knows that. Nobody will ever take that from him.
The flop.
The Heat.
36 points.
Who has the record?
Kareem.
And Kareem was known for the, what is it, the hook shot or
something?
So
you're going to go into what's been going on?
So I heard LeBron is practicing hook shot.
Yep, every practice he practices hook shot.
So they're going to try. He's going to try to break the record
He's going to try shot. To break the record with a hook shot.
I hope he breaks his leg with a hook shot.
He's 2 points short, breaks his leg. Can't come back.
Oh, that's horrible. I mean, I don't really.
No, I want to be 1 point. LeBron, I hope he gets a free throw and then he falls. Like, yeah, he's like,
I don't wish anybody getting hurt.
How weird would that be though? He's like 1 point away. 1 point away, and he's just like, I'm going to retire.
They would let him go out there with crutches and just do it.
Yeah, you think it's going to
be in a hospital
spectacle?
Bed? And he's just one arm in it.
You think it's going to be a spectacle when they? I hope, like, when he's one shot away from breaking the record, like, somebody just decks him. Like, flagrant foul, punches him right in the face, knocks him out.
Just WWE style, just, like, clotheslines him at half court. Right. He's running down coach, and it's like, wham!
Folding chairs are flying.
Bobby Knight comes out and hits him with a chair.
Okay.
It's just too late to stay up tonight to watch that.
Would you rather...
Oh, you got what would you rather?
Would you rather you... get a check, a good check for $50 million right now, but you age 2 years immediately? Or would you rather have the knowledge that you have right now, but revert back to being a 10-year-old and start all over again with no money?
Nah, give me the money.
And you're willing to lose 2 years.
2 years.
Of your life. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, all your family keeps going.
What? You should have made it like 5 years. 2 years is almost like...
2 years.
Like, 2 years. You don't see... Your grandson went in a blink of an eye is 2 years older and you missed it. Your wife's 2 years older and you missed it. Everything around
Everybody
you,
came with me, so I didn't lose anything. They all came with me.
Oh, they're still
that 2 years.
They're still here, but
it's
if
2 years.
But they don't lose 2 years? Like, the whole world just...
Listen, if Thanos comes, I'm going to lose five.
You age 2 years, so does everybody else, but you don't... You're not part of any of it. You lose 2 years.
I don't understand the question.
You lose 2 years.
So that means my wife is by herself for 2 years, and then I pop back into her life?
Yes.
Like you blip out, blip back?
Yeah.
So they keep living. They don't just jump 2 years with you?
They just live for 2 years, and I disappear for 2 years?
Yes.
So it's not in an instant. I'm just somewhere.
It's an instant to you.
But my wife, so what? When I did...
It's an odd scenario.
It's a weird question.
You're 2 years older. Everything else has gone 2 years. You miss all of that 2 years. But you're $50 million richer.
Here's the problem I have with the question, right? Because this is how much I love my wife.
You've officially thought about this question longer than I have.
Well, you officially asked it. So the problem is, if I revert back to a younger age having this knowledge right now.
Right. You'd be a weird kid.
I would spend my whole life searching for Claire.
That's true.
I would, because she's my girl.
If I would do the same thing. You see a 10-year-old, go try to find an 8-year-old. That's what would happen.
Well, mine would be weird, because I'm 7 years older. So.
That is really weird. You'd be looking for a 3-year-old. Like, this is my wife. Come with me.
Tom's just, 10-year-old Tom run down the street with a baby. A baby in a Red Bull, just chugging along.
And I'm smart. But so that's the problem with that scenario. The other scenario I have is that if I'm like talking to my wife and then boom, I just disappear.
Yeah.
Or I just disappear without her knowing for 2 years.
Oh, she'd drop you like in the first day. She'd go look for, like, it wouldn't be hard. She'd just find somebody better.
I won't want to lose the 2 years.
I know.
Especially since, you guys met young. I just met my wife 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still weird to me. Because I met you guys, you were married when I met you guys. Well, how long have we known each other?
Angry faces.
We've known each other since
like 3 or 4 years.
We've known.
You guys can't see it there. It's on the chat. Somebody's putting angry faces all over this.
It's probably my mom. Hi, mom.
It's our kids. Yeah.
Letting the girls. Oh yeah, my mom watches our young kids.
Your kids hate us.
And they,
just by looking at the emojis they're putting on, they hate us.
Actually, my mom might be encouraging it.
She's probably poking them with a stick. She's like,
put the middle finger up. Put the middle finger up.
She's got a cow prod. Do what I say.
We met in 2016.
And I met you.
And I married her in 2017.
We met you in like, what, 2019?
Yeah.
Something like that. So the whole time I've known you, you've been married. So yeah. in my infantile brain, you guys have been married forever.
Well, that's what we feel. Yeah.
But. Yeah, that's weird.
So I would actually would there be a scenario of not taking either option?
Well, here's the thing. What if somebody at the same time they were going up to you offering you $50 million to lose 2 years, somebody else was going up to her? If you say no and she says yes?
Would she know?
I don't know.
Like if someone offered me the $50 million, would she know that I'm gonna be that she's going to live 2 years without me?
Since you're really involved in this question, why don't you write a script for a movie? It'll be better than Cocaine Bear. I'll give you $50 to produce it, which will be better than Cocaine Bear. And, get this thing done. Maybe we can spin it off like God's Not Dead and make like 46 of them.
There's too many unknowns. It's hard for me to answer that
question. It's a lot of variables that go into this situation.
A lot of variables, yeah. I just love my wife that much that she's the X factor in both scenarios.
See, the thing is, the way I would answer that question is, I don't think my life would get markedly better with $50 million. I'll just stick here. Like,
no, you wouldn't. You would have to revert.
No.
It was either or. If I could just stay and not do any, that's what I would do. I'm like, no, I don't need.
I forgot that it was an either or.
Yeah.
Originally, I was going to make those two separate questions, but it was an either or. I'll go with the $50 million lease. I'll see you in a couple years.
So, I mean, the other question is too: when you revert back, does everybody revert back, or you just revert back to 10? Everybody stays
that
the
is,
same age.
You know, I should have asked me. When I came up with that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
because I'm thinking you revert back, but everybody else stays the same.
Then I would never meet Claire.
And
then,
right. You would.
Well, you would. He's 10 years old, and she's like, excuse me, young man. No, go away.
The thing is, you'd be the same size, though.
Yeah, he wouldn't look any different. I mean, he might have to trim his eyebrows. I don't know what his 10-year-old eyebrows look like. But
caterpillar just trimmed my face.
She's like, you really look like a really young version of my husband. He just disappeared.
Where does the term laundry list come from?
I don't know.
We have a laundry list of things to talk about.
I've never heard that term.
You've never heard the term?
Laundry list?
Oh, we have a laundry list of things to get through today.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
But isn't laundry just, the list would be do the laundry?
Yeah, put it in the washer, put it in the dryer.
You don't need a list for that?
No. You don't even need to
unless there's
be
different people's
for that.
Clothes you got to wash. Or wash.
Wash.
You know what? I'm going to look it up right now.
Let me know where the term laundry list comes from.
I never even heard of that.
I wonder if it has something to do with like back in the day when you used to have like laundry like facilities where you had to go people do them.
Oh, and you had a list of everybody's clothes.
Yeah, like a dry cleaner.
Then why did that? Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I'm going to look it up because.
That's the only thing that makes sense. I should probably look it up since you're on a
When you took the laundry to a commercial laundry establishment, though you had to make a record of what you'd sent, this ensured both that you got back what you sent and that you paid for what you got washed. And that is where the laundry list comes from.
So what happened?
So you made a list so they didn't steal your underwear. And so you didn't pay for somebody else's underwear to get washed.
Oh.
So you make a list of all... Did they have nothing better to do with their life back then?
And why?
Write down like 6 pairs of underwear.
And if you can't...
14, 13 socks.
If you can't trust somebody to wash your underwear, they're going to steal them? You shouldn't probably be taking it to a place like that. You should go somewhere find someone.
Was that
trust.
The big crime of like the 1800s was stolen underwear?
Or did they pay per article?
I think per article. It doesn't really say.
That's why they had the list. It's like a receipt.
Yeah, but you had to make the list of what you brought them so they didn't steal your underwear. So when they come in and you go, yo, I brought you 10 pairs of underwear. There's only 8 here in the thing.
And how did
like,
you know
yes,
it was,
there is.
If there was only one manufacturer, how did you know it was yours anyway?
So yeah, if it's all Hanes Tidy Whiteys, like
right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
How do you like by your
I guess
skid marks,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe the community just shared underwear, you know.
Maybe like those are definitely not my skid marks. I can tell you right now.
Well, they would have to wash them individually. That's the thing. They just can't mix them. That's disgusting.
I suppose. What would you
That was the point.
Speaking of skid marks. I'm always busy at work, so I'm always looking at ways to save time.
I need Elijah here for this. I can't be over here laughing by myself.
Yeah, he would have lost it right
there. He would have, yeah, him and I would
have lost it. He would have right definitely lost it right there.
Skidmark would have
gone. He's probably laughing
at us. He's probably at home. He's probably choking. He's
not even watching us.
Yeah, what a jerk.
He's well.
He'll make up. He'll be like, I was watching, but my computer doesn't. He's not watching.
I didn't set up my new
laptop. I got
laptop.
A laptop without a keyboard.
I just didn't set it up yet.
It's so. Just a screen.
All right, so I'm always looking for ways to save time. And I needed a I order online a lot so I don't have to go out to the store for work stuff. And running a little low on toilet paper over at the shop.
Ooh.
I noticed this morning.
So you ordered new socks. Gotcha. Laundry list. There we go.
Oh, I'm gonna pass out. So I went on Amazon. Ooh.
What's wrong with you?
I don't have Elijah, so I gotta get something going here.
Wow. I laughed so hard I like lost oxygen and got a headache. So
have you used a sock before?
No, why are you even asking?
Are you speaking from experience?
Yes!
Right now, he is wearing one sock. What are you talking about?
It's half a sock. I just got the ankle part so you guys could see it. The toes are gone completely.
It's like a glove?
It's like Rocky's gloves.
So, normally I would go to Costco, but I've been really busy at work.
Is that what happened to those?
This is never happening.
Yeah, I drug you guys into it.
I can never watch that movie again now.
Yeah, he has those fingerless gloves.
So if Tom were sitting here, he and I would be trying to move on with the show. But he's over there, so he's feeding into all it. Into it.
See, it's got to be me. That
it's contagious over there.
This is why he left the side of the table to begin with.
Yeah, I can't concentrate on the show when I'm next to Sean.
Oh, so man. If Elijah comes back and he sits to my right, then he will automatically kind of be calm and try to drive the show forward.
We should try that. That would be so funny.
Just put Dave here next week, see if I can suck Dave into my universe.
So, this is not going to be funny now. This is a long buildup. Instead of going to Costco and, you know, I saved the half hour and I went on Amazon. And you know that thing that says on Amazon, like, other ways to buy? So, there's a case of toilet paper. And it says other ways to buy and save money. And you click on it and it says you can buy used toilet paper.
There's so many things like I want to say right now.
If you're going to order a book, you could click on used and save a couple of bucks. But with toilet paper, you can also buy used toilet paper. And it says very good condition. It said used, but in good condition.
No, listen,
it does. Look it up.
The toilet paper said used,
but in good condition.
No, it didn't.
I believe that.
I will prove 100%. It to you after
the
show. I
do not believe that one bit.
I will prove it to you.
I believe it. No, not Costco. Amazon.
No, it's Amazon. You can't buy used toilet paper at Costco. Listen, please, they are so much better than that.
I have some used socks in good condition that I'm going to sell.
Slightly shorter.
Slightly short.
All right.
Yeah, good if you have small feet. Well, that's a lot of Angel Soft.
You see a used option?
I don't see.
The whole world is waiting for you, Tom. Tom's on
48,
Amazon right
48
now.
Rolls of used toilet paper.
It's in good condition, though.
I think you have to click on one of the things, Tom.
Yeah, you have to click on one of the things, and then it'll say other ways to buy.
All right, we're all going to... No, Dave, you're joining this side of the table.
I'm on the wrong side of the table.
You're going to get sucked in.
After... Yeah, that one doesn't have it. I'll show you later. I promise.
Right. Yeah, we definitely all need to see that. Nice. Amin's looking it up for us right now. Amin, let us know when you find it.
And order some.
And let us know. Like, see if you can give us a price
on some used
toilet paper.
Bring it to church in a few weeks. We got it. You see it?
Used toilet paper.
Used. Does it say good condition?
This one. Well, that's all sponsored stuff.
That's all regular stuff.
Let's go to the bamboo one.
Ooh, bamboo. That's got to be itchy.
Dave, you're making this up.
I'm telling you. I ordered it.
No.
It was used. Good condition.
Yeah, look. I
didn't really order it. I decided to spend a little extra money.
What do they mean by used? Like, so they mean like...
They did not clarify.
So you know how you can come six in a pack?
Right.
Maybe used means that there's only four in the pack of six?
It could just mean that somebody opened the pack. But it also could mean used, says...
My brain automatically goes to used. You are getting paper that has 100% been used by somebody else. And they just folded it up, stuck in an old Nike shoebox, and sent it back. You're getting like a Nike box full of used toilet paper.
All right.
Was the price good for it?
It was like a dollar cheaper.
Oh, it's not worth it.
For it wasn't worth it. Not for a dollar. If it was $2 cheaper, I think I would have done it.
I mean, Amazon usually has like a 10% off coupon anyway, so I just would have bought it from Amazon straight up.
Take it out of the prodigal son's budget and buy it to see what it is.
I will do that as soon as we get a budget.
As soon as we get a
budget. All right, Sean, you got a game?
I do. So we're going to go cards that Christians like. And
I feel like you picked these cards for me.
I didn't even look at them. So let me lie mine out here so I can see. Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine for the first time. This is good.
Oh, these are awesome. I am loving this right now. All right. Everybody ready? Oh, that dude. Oh, my goodness.
Did you see it?
I just saw the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't see how you're going to work that. I hope it's on this first question that you use that.
I hope it's every question you use that. Yep. I do.
Ready?
Ready.
This year, I mastered the art of... I don't think I have anything that rivals that at this point. I'll
remember, you have to reread the question or reread the statement.
Yeah, you got to say it in a full sentence.
This week...
Year.
This year, I mastered the art of circumcision.
I don't even want to know why you were practicing that, but good for you.
Thank you.
That is interesting. Dave, you got one?
This is Christian likes?
Yeah.
This year, I mastered the art of awkward side hugs.
Very nice. Very nice. This year, I mastered the art of the spiritual gift of criticism.
I'm sure you did.
I mastered that a long time
ago. Yeah, I was going to say.
That had nothing to do with this year. Most people feel convicted about blank. But I just ignore it.
Tom's wife is watching.
Is she really?
She is.
Oh, my.
This year.
My wife is watching?
I believe so. She should comment to make sure. It might just be your grandkid on her
computer. Claire, are you watching us, Claire Rivera? This year. What is it?
What is it again? Sorry.
Most people feel convicted about blank, but I just ignore it.
Most people feel convicted about wearing flip-flops to church, but I just ignore it.
Okay.
That goes. That's nice.
Most people feel convicted about holding back my tears, but I just ignore it.
That's a good one.
I think my wife accidentally clicked on our thing and then clicked back out.
Yeah, she was like, nope, nope. She saw all three of us laugh, and she's like, nope, I don't even want to know what's going on there.
She was like, you know, after 6 months of not watching the show, she's like, you know what? I really need to give these guys a chance. They're all grown men. They're probably talking about something really spiritual and really, you know, depth to this conversation, and she's like 30 seconds in, did he just say he used a sock?
And they're gonna buy some used toilet paper. I'm out. This is
I knew there was a reason why I didn't watch this show.
I stopped watching for a reason. Now I remember. Thank goodness. So most people feel convicted about alternative Halloween church activities, but I just ignore it.
Okay.
I don't know. It was the best thing I had to go with that. Blank. We're all guilty of it.
Toxic relationships. We're all guilty of it.
Storing treasures in heaven while living in poverty on earth. We're all guilty of it.
Accidentally cussing. We're all guilty of it.
It was an accident?
Not for me.
Man, yours are fitting you perfect today.
Yeah, no, seriously. Mine are pretty good. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to fill this one, but let's see. I kind of want a tattoo of blank. Wouldn't that look cute?
I kind of want, I only got three options here. I kind of want a tattoo of the ball pit in our children's ministry.
Wouldn't that look cute?
Wouldn't that look cute?
Very nice.
I need new cards.
I don't like any of these for this.
You just keep them all out? You don't like take them out once you use them?
Yeah, I probably should have.
I'll go since you.
Yeah, I just skip me.
I kind of want a tattoo of persuasive snakes. Wouldn't that look cute?
Don't you have one?
A snake?
Don't you have one?
I have a dragon, not a snake.
Oh. Persuasive dragon?
You're getting skinny, though, so I thought it was a snake.
You are getting skinny.
I'm trying. I'm working on it. I kind of feel weird about that new children's song, Jesus Loves.
Who is this?
I kind of feel weird about that new children's song, Jesus Loves Stacking Chairs the Right Way.
Is he a Christian singer?
Yeah, he sings Reckless Love.
That's right. All right.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat? I had somebody distract me.
Yeah, no kidding. Elijah stepped in. I kind of feel weird about that new children's song, Jesus Loves, Stacking Chairs the Right Way.
That's a good one. I heard that the other day on the radio.
I kind of feel weird about that new children's song, Jesus Loves.
You should have used that second card for this one.
Circumcision.
Should have held on to that.
Waiting,
okay. I kind of feel weird about that new children's song, Jesus Loves, not being allowed to read Harry Potter.
Oh, last one more.
I continued blank, even though God specifically asked me not to, and oh my goodness, I can't read my card. Tell me.
Wait, you can't?
That does not fit perfectly in my life.
Wow.
All right, guys, can you just listen for me?
Go for it.
You have to now. And everyone's waiting for it. I got to remember to stay on the mic.
I continued being single against my will, even though God specifically asked me not to.
I continue being Corey Asbury, even though God continued to ask me not to.
Oh, that's what you were looking up, who that was?
Yeah. Corey Asbury. Okay. Yeah,
are you not going to do this one either?
I forgot what it was.
I continued blank, even though God specifically asked me not to.
I continued refusing to eat meat, even though God specifically asked me not to.
You did not get that card.
I did get that card.
Wow.
I'll take your word for it.
But God didn't ask me not to.
What's that thing you said that it might turn into something?
Might turn into something.
Yeah, when I said let's do a game today and you said I got a question, but it's not really a game.
What animal would win in a fight? A finch, a cow, a mongoose, a goat, a buffalo, or a chipmunk?
Honey badger, because honey badger don't give a...
No, I have a random animal.
Have you ever seen the honey badger videos?
No, apparently
look them up later. Honey badger. Because honey badger.
I have a couple of random generators on my computer pulled up right now, and one of them is a random animal generator. So if you had to be one of these animals in a fight, which would you be? A finch, a cow, a mongoose, a goat, a buffalo, or a chipmunk?
Mongoose.
Why?
Because they're predators, so...
I don't know anything about them.
They, like, kill snakes.
They look like angry squirrels.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, I think the buffalo would be tough for him. But I think if you get enough mongoose...
You think a mongoose could take a buffalo?
I think so, if he was determined enough.
I believe you might be right. Might be crafty.
They're small. So, like, you just get up on him, start biting his neck, and what's the buffalo going to do? Run?
I would take a finch.
Finch?
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
I would fly up to the Chinese weather station in the sky. And I pop the bubble and let it fall on the buffalo. That's an opening to talk about Chinese weather balloons, if you wanted it. But we need to move along.
Yeah, that's a. I don't know if I want to talk about that subject.
Are you looking up? Are you? You came over to my computer, Tom. Are you looking to see what a goat looks like?
No.
You want to know what a mongoose look like?
I'll go with the chipmunk.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have to explain why.
I see that.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like Chip and Dale and they have all like those gadgets and stuff from like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, that might, you know.
I'm thinking of a different Chip and Dale. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, that movie is out now, so.
Still don't have a clue what you're talking about. I'll take your word for it. The other generator I have on my computer pulled up right now is a random scripture generator, and we decided we're going to do a topic tonight with whatever scripture comes up. And believe it or not, I have wanted to do this for a long time because we have three different versions of Almost Pastors right here. And if Elijah was here, we'd have four different versions of Almost Pastors on the table. And I believe that one of the gifts you have when you speak in public in church settings and you do sermons and that sort of thing is you kind of have the ability to take anything and turn it into a sermon. So I may read a scripture in a second and we might just say, okay, good night, or we might turn it into something.
This is going to be interesting.
Are you ready?
Are you going to do what you said?
I am going to do what I said.
So you kind of get a, like 5 seconds a head start on us? Slowest copy and paste ever.
I freaked out for a second because it didn't work. I hit the button and it's like a very, very, like, I think this was a pretty 1991 website here.
I was a junior.
What year?
I was a junior in high school that year.
What, 91?
91.
I was younger.
Well, yeah, obviously. I'm the oldest in the group.
I think I was in like third grade.
Wait, you're that much younger than me?
I graduated in 97. So.
Oh, yeah, I graduated in 92.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
5 years between us. If you were a junior.
Dave graduated in 2005.
Sorry, I would have been in sixth grade.
2003.
I was close. And I was being sarcastic, too.
My first child was a year old when Dave graduated. Andres was one when Dave graduated.
All right, how many times do you want me to roll the dice? It's BibleDice.com, which I'm pretty sure is like really against our
Altogether.
How many times do you want me to roll the dice?
Seven.
Give me seven. All right, one, two, three, four.
Jesus wept.
Five, six.
And he sweated blood.
What? What should we do with that?
Seven.
Oh, he's going to put it up. That's right.
Yeah. Is he going to put it under?
Who knows? He's just going to randomly.
Transition, I guess?
Let's put it on next week's notes.
Oh, I think this will be a good one. Let me pop it up on the screen so you guys can see it.
All right. Here it comes.
2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Apparently, like I said, it was 1991 website. I'm pretty sure all I had was King James.
You know, it's interesting because this kind of reminds me a little bit about what Pastor Kerry Willis was saying with his example of, you know, flying all the way to Paris and going to the Eiffel Tower, but then you're only going halfway up the Eiffel Tower, right? You're not really getting that full experience of the Eiffel Tower by just going halfway up. But I think, me personally, I think this is an interesting verse because we could all be guilty of this, you know, being that you know, you go to church and you get Jesus sprinkled on you, and then you think you're fine for the rest of the week, and you're not really, it's not really working out. Just being that Sunday Christian. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I just think, you know, in my life, and one of the main reasons, honestly, taking Claire's my everything. She really is. But taking Claire out of the equation for that $50 million question you asked me, I wish she was on so you could know. I just told Claire this last night. I feel like I am the richest man in the world because of the blessings and the relationship that I have with God. Right? And that just doesn't happen overnight. That's something that I've been working on, and now it's coming back at me, and he's really showing me the blessings of what it is to have that true relationship with God.
I love this verse, and I've used it actually several times in different sermons that I've done. I don't know if you guys ever heard me talk about giving. You know, financial.
I watched that. You did that at that other church.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. But this is one of the verses I use a lot because it's actually, that's the, what's it called when they put a little like snippet above the verse telling you what's coming? Like in the next paragraph. Like this one is the cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever, it's just like, I have a cool story for this actually. But it's just, if you believe in God and you believe that God created us after his own image and God created us to love each other and serve each other, then you believe in a father and childlike relationship that we have with God. Why would you ever give as little as you can or help somebody as little as you can or, you know, not do what God has made you to do? And this is when you plant a seed, You know, that's what this is all about. Everything was agriculture back then. So that's the only, you know, that's why he spoke in these parables. But when you plant a seed, you're going to reap the harvest. So when you plant sparingly, you're going to reap only sparingly. But if you plant a full field, you'll be able to reap a full harvest. And so God is talking about it to several different levels. But the one that I believe is intended is when you give back to God or give to other people or give of your time, you're going to receive so much more from God. I'm not talking about this financial BS gospel that people are preaching. If you give this, you'll get 10 times. That's all garbage. Yeah. But the cool story I have about this is actually about my daughter, Allison. And I've used this as a sermon illustration a couple of times. About 8 years ago, she was 4 or 5 years old. And Lisa was at work, and we're watching this. We're just flipping through the channels, basically. And this... we hit one of the religion channels, a Christianity channel, and they were talking about missions and giving towards this mission that was digging water wells in Africa for these, you know, poor tribal communities. And I just felt like this, you know, when God talks to you and you just know that it is God talking to you. God said, "I want you to watch this." I'm like, I have no interest in watching this. This is just really depressing, watching all these, you know, broke people and whatever, you know, the people who don't have anything and whatever. I don't want to watch this, especially with my kid in the room. And God was like, "You're going to watch this." And I watched the program, and like 20 minutes into it, I'm like, why in the world am I watching this? I'm not getting anything from this. Lisa and I don't give money unless we talk about it. So I'm not about to write a check. Like, I don't understand why God has me watching this right now. I don't understand why God told me to watch this. And I didn't realize that Allison had walked out of the room. And she walked back into the room. And she was looking at the thing and she goes, "I know why those people are sad." And I was like, "Okay, why do you think they're sad?" And she says to me, she goes, "I think they're sad because they don't have any water." And I was like, "Yes, you're right. It's a very sad situation, and they don't have any." She goes, "I want to help." I'm like, "You are 4 years old, 5 years old. You can't help. You know, these people are on the other side of the world, and they're asking for money, and you know, you're a kid. You can't do anything." And she goes, "I want to help." And at that point, she walked out of the room. I'm like, "Okay, I don't know what mission she went off onto, but I still don't understand what God wants me to do about this." And Allison walked back into the room holding her piggy bank and said, "I want to help them. I have money. I want to help these people." And I was like, wow, this is okay. I'm starting to see that God's trying to teach me. And I'm still in my head going, I can't understand why God wanted me to do, like, so I'm still like, why this kid doesn't understand. They're asking for like a $50 donation. This kid does not understand how much money $50 is. So actually I was like, I'm going to show her why she's wrong, why she can't help. And I opened up her piggy bank and I dumped all the money out and we counted it. And she had like $100. And I said, "This is all the money you've ever had in the whole world is $100. All the gifts people have given you, you put in your piggy bank, ended up being $100. They're asking for a donation of $50. That's this much money. Do you understand what they're asking for? That's what they're asking of you. You can't do that." And she goes, she thought about it for a minute and she looked up at me. She goes, "I want to give that much money, but I want to give the other half too." She's like, "That way I can help those little kids, but I can also help the big kids." And that's when God told me, he said, "This is what I want from you. I want you to want to give like that." And I think that's what he calls all of us to do. That's why I like speaking about giving. I'm really happy that verse came up. Otherwise, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But I think God calls us all to love like that and to give like that. And that's where the parable I'm going to bring full circle is God teaches us to have a parent-child relationship with him. And I got to tell you, at that point in my life, I had never been more proud of my kid. And if my kid had asked me later on that night, she, you know, like an hour after that, and we did, she wrote, you know, she gave me the money. I wrote a check and we sent it off. But an hour later, she said, "Hey, Dad, can I eat some ice cream?" And I said, "Yep, you absolutely can eat ice cream." And if she'd asked me for a new car, I would have bought her a new car. Like, I'd never been more proud of my kid. And that's where it's like, if you only go around seeing what the minimum you can do is, I don't think it really impresses God. But whether it's $5 or $5 million, if you're willing to give everything you have towards saving souls, towards rescuing people, towards helping people with homelessness or shelter, like, that's when I think God is actually proud that you're his kid.
Can I just say something real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
So you know, I've been thinking a lot about this scenario. I don't know, you know, it's probably going to be a sermon. It's probably going to be my next sermon that I give. And it's the miracle of when the Lord fed the 5,000, right? And we always focus on the miracle of the Lord feeding the 5,000. And I started thinking about that whole situation, and it's interesting that you talked about your daughter, because, you know, as Christians, God wants us to be like the kids, right? Mm-hmm. The little boy who gave Jesus the 5 loaves of bread and the fish, he literally gave him everything that he had. And he didn't do it with a, "Hey, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to perform a miracle and feed everybody," right? Mm-hmm. He did it with that willingness of, you know what? I'm going to give you all I have so I can help what you want to do, so I can help that cause, so I can be part of helping out, you know? And it was the purest intentions ever. He didn't know that the Lord was going to perform that miracle. And then you start thinking about the story. Well, why would a little kid be carrying that much food? Because that's too much for him, right? Or was it that he had to carry it because that was for, like, his family, you know? With that situation, that money could have been for something that she wanted to buy, that she's saving for, right? But this little kid said, you know what? I'm just going to give it all to Jesus. And he just gave him everything that he had. And through that, there was a big reward, because everybody not only ate, but they were actually able to take leftovers with them on their trip back home, because a lot of people traveled far to come see Jesus. So they had to travel back. And just from that pure heart of that little boy, that whole giving. And the reason I bring that up is because part of the word that the Lord's putting in my heart is, don't give because I'm telling you biblically that to tithe 10%. Mm-hmm. You know, when you said the Lord loves a cheerful giver, you know, he loves the fact that this is what you personally want to do. You know, it's not like, well, I got to give 10%. This is what I got to do. This is what the Bible tells me to do. No, it's that whole, like, you know what? It's not about that. It's like, because I know what he did for me, I'm going to do this. And that boy was just so innocent. He had no idea what was going to happen, but yet he gave it all. He could have got in trouble from his parents for giving the food away that they brought for that trip, you know? But he didn't think of any of that. He didn't think of anything that had to do selfishly with himself. And he said, "Jesus, here you go." Mm-hmm. And look what he did with that.
Yeah, no.
He fed the 5,000.
Which is amazing. And I think in both of the stories, Dave's story and your story, we see just giving willingly,
yep,
with no expectation of return.
That's what it is.
Without, just saw a need. I mean, that boy is probably hungry. He probably traveled. I mean, we assume he's younger, so he's probably hungry. He traveled to get there. It wasn't like it was just, you know, he went 2 blocks down the street. Like, they were traveling. So, you know, Allison, that you said that was all the money she had gotten to that point in her life. But without even hesitation, there was a need. She had a way to fill it. The young boy saw a need. He had a way to fill it, and they just gave. And I think that's the thing. When we talk about giving sparingly and giving bountifully, you may not have $1 million to give every year to a project. But giving everything you have with a full heart, just saying, "I give," because, you know, we see the woman who gives her few coins. You know, there's people in the parable where they had plenty of money and they could have given more. And this woman brought everything. She had like 4 coins and she throws them in. And, you know, I mean, it's the intention behind. So for me, I think when this first popped up, the first thing that pops in my head is, I think when we say, in this particular instance, we say sowing sparingly, I think it's because we don't give of a giving heart. We don't give with a full heart. We don't give with the intent of not receiving something in return. I think we live in a world right now where we see a lot of prosperity gospel. And I don't want to harp on that, but I think a lot of people think that if they give their 10% to God, God's going to return that by 100. So if you give $10, he's going to send $10, $100
like
in the mail.
There's some magic formula, like they're buying a lottery ticket.
So I think you're giving spiritually. If you're only giving part of yourself. I think that takes part of it. So you're not giving all of it over there. You're not trusting that God, okay, I have $100 to my name. That's all I own. That's all I have. But I'm going to give it because there's somebody who needs it more than I do. And not worry about if you're going to get $1,000 back, because it doesn't matter, because somebody else is – we're in this together. I mean, we're in this as Christians together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And the fact is we should. If I come in here and one of you guys is like, man, it's freezing. I don't have – I'm going to give you my sweatshirt. I'm going to give you my hoodie. Here, take it. You know, that's fine. I have another one in the car. I think giving with everything that you have, and I think unfortunately, we do these things, and that's sharing your time. That's sharing the word of Christ to the world. I mean, I think we also live in a world where showing up on Sunday, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Sunday Country Club. I'm here. I come in and cha-ching. I punch the time clock. I gave God my
juice and crackers once a month.
Juice and crackers once a month. I punched the time clock. I gave my hour and a half. And this is another topic I want to talk about later. What do we do the other 6 days of the week?
Yep.
And I think that all goes hand in hand. What you do on a Sunday, what you show in a Sunday worship service is what you should be showing all week. And I talked about it last week. And I thought about what you said last week, that the fruits had to come forward in order for them to see it. And I went a step further. I was just praying over it and thinking about it and stuff. And I don't think it was necessarily that it did. My fruits had to come forward for them to see it, but they had to be ready to understand it. They had to be able to ready to see it. Like, it's not something that, you know, I can't just go in and say, hey, I'm a pastor. And people just go, oh my goodness, like, I want to find out about Christ. Like, you don't just flip. Some people do. Don't get me wrong. It happens. But I think I had to, whatever God was trying to show had to come through me in the way that it did, but they had to be also ready to accept. But because I'm coming out of a hurt period, I'm going into a healing period, I think now things are showing more how it should be in my life, because now I don't have a wall up, I don't have a Jericho wall up, and I'm not deflecting, and I'm not stiff-arming, and I'm not keeping people at arm's length anymore. So I think those fruits are finally starting to show. I wasn't in a place where I think if my fruits had shown before I started getting on the healing side of things, that would have been, you know, very sparing seed being thrown, because it wouldn't be good seed. It probably wouldn't take.
Right. It wouldn't be genuine. Can I say something real quick? You know, back to your story. The beautiful part of your story, in my eyes and in my opinion, is not the, okay, 50 will help the kids. I want to give it all to help the big kids. The beautiful part of your story that I can't stop thinking about was, hey, Dad, can I have ice cream?
Yeah.
Because you could have easily gave you all your money, sat in a corner, and your dad could have been like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I wanted to help, but now I don't, you know. And you're like, no, I did it. I feel great. Have some ice cream. It's that faith that you showed.
Well, you beat me to it, because that's what I was going to cap this whole thing off with was you mentioned, oh, well, it was all the money she had in the world and whatever. But there's something to be said about a childlike faith, mm-hmm. because it's not you don't think about these things. And there's a reason you don't think about the repercussions, because you've never had to face repercussions. This is why adults, the older we get, not necessarily the smarter we get, especially when it comes to spiritual trust in God, is the reason why she could give away everything that she'd ever had in her whole life and not worry about it is because she was standing next to her dad. She had full faith that if she didn't have anything, her dad would provide.
Oh.
She didn't need the money in her bank account because her dad would provide. She didn't need food. Her dad would provide. And that's what we lose when we start realizing that when we start believing that he doesn't provide, but we do. Then we run into, I'll tell you what, the one thing I've learned from going from being absolutely so broke that we didn't know, you know, how we were going to get through the end of the month to actually having leftover at the end of the month, leftover baskets, you know, at the end of the month, is the one thing you realize is that there are problems that are bigger than your bank account, no matter how big your bank account is. You know, no matter how big your bank account is, cancer is still a problem. No matter how big your bank account is, addiction is still a problem. And you start realizing that there are things that you can't overcome by yourself, and you still need that dependence on God. you know, this is why we need to give with, you know, in abundance, because God gives us in abundance. So that's it. I think we're over on time. We should do this every once in a while. No, just roll the dice.
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty good. We should add that to the rotation.
Add that to the rotation.
But yeah, you know, it's awesome because, like, I couldn't stop thinking of that attitude of, like, can I get some ice cream? You know, it's I'm not even worried about that. But you're right. You know, the Father was there. Mm-hmm. God was there. He's always there. You know, and if He takes care of the birds and the animals, you know, He's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's the beautiful part of the story.
Well, I mean, some of the birds.
Well, yeah, some of the birds.
Some birds around, are taken around, care of in another way.
Around Pastor Pete's house, the birds are taken care of a little bit different way.
Just a little bit different way.
All right, why don't we pray and get the show on the road?
Father God, thank You for bringing us together again. Thank You for bringing everybody who came on. And here's, and Lord, just whatever You had in a message tonight for folks to hear, please let those folks hear it. Lord, tonight we pray for Chuck and his family as they deal with the situation they're dealing with in life right now. Lord, also for Dawn and her family as they go through the situations that they're going through. Lord, You know what they are. You know what they need. You know how to comfort them. You know how to heal them through this process. So Lord, be with all both of those families as they go through that situation. Lord, for Sister Betty, lay Your healing hands upon her, sit with her, guide her, give her comfort, let her know everything's going to be all right, and just take care of our sister. For all those that are going for district interviews for their district license this week, and for ordinate candidates, Lord, keep them going in the path that You have them going, Lord. Keep them going in the direction that You have them going so they can serve You best, Lord, so that the seed that they plant is bountiful and it's growing Your kingdom and for Your glory, Lord. For Randy and his family, Lord, You know where they're at. You know what's going on. Continue to work through that. Continue to work into that situation. Continue to bring the right people along to help along with that situation, Lord. For the players from Daniel Boone that were in the car accident yesterday, and for their team and for their families and their friends, Lord, bring those two young men through that situation, Lord. I know that last I heard they were in critical condition, so if You could be with them, lay Your healing hands upon them. I know their team went out tonight to play, even though they, you know, what's going on. So Lord, be with them and bring them a sense of peace and bring those young gentlemen through that situation. So Lord, tonight I want to soften hearts. We gather things of the world to us for personal gain, for enjoyment, for the things that we want, for self-centered reasons. And Lord, we know that there are minimal things that we could do that could change the lives of so many. So Lord, help open our eyes to the areas that You want us to be in and give us that childlike wonder. Give us the expectation that even if we can only give X amount of dollars, or we can give so much time, or we can do this or do that, Lord, let us know that that's okay. No matter how big or how small the gesture, that You'll take care of the overall problem. Doesn't matter how much we give, as long as we give willingly, unselfishly, with a thankful heart, that we have the opportunity to give. Because, Lord, there is no greater joy than knowing that one of my Christian brothers and sisters somewhere in the world is getting something that they need, a help that they need, of food that they need, water that they need, clothes that they need, whatever it is that they need, they're getting it. You have blessed me and everybody here more than I can ever imagine. And You continue to bless us on a daily basis. I know for me especially, I have seen You do things that don't make sense to me. So I trust that everything that You do is to serve a greater purpose, is to serve You, is to glorify You, to edify You. So Lord, just continue opening hearts. Continue letting people know we are not a country club culture. There's no membership fees to sign up. There's no special card to get in the door. Everybody's welcome. Everybody gets a seat at the table. Everybody gets to eat. Everybody gets clothes. And in the end, everybody gets a crown when we come home to You. So I ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I think Shane found a house.
He did.
Yeah. Congrats, Shane.
Looked like he did. Is he on?
He's not on, but he always watches later on. So.
Oh, hey, Rod. How are you?
Just want to know that that we're happy for him.
Hey, guys. I have some really exciting news.
All right.
I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, very good.
But if you like the show, please click share.
We're not going to do the Eagles fight song?
No.
Oh, yeah, we will. Just give me a minute. We'll get there.
Okay.
If you like the show, click share, like, hang out with us on Apple. I'm not good at this. Where's Elijah? Apple, iTunes, Podcast Addict, all that stuff. And please ensure that enjoy this independent music from Tracks on Tracks Productions. All right, you ready? Let's do a countdown. One, two,
three.